Okay, well, we've got another theme. What theme have we just finished? Well done, we just finished spiritual warfare. We have got a brand new, amazing theme for you for the next few weeks. Old and young, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, and deep as the deepest sea, and his name is Jesus. Now, there's an original theme for you, isn't it? Our theme for the next few weeks is Jesus, and different people will be taking the theme of Jesus. You might well say, well, shouldn't he be our theme every week? And I would say, yes, that's right. We're going to look at one or two aspects of what we would say is the theme Jesus. Another week, no doubt, someone will talk about King Jesus. Another week, no doubt, someone will talk about Savior Jesus. Another week, someone will talk about other aspects of him. But the one that came to me as soon as this one came up was friend. Jesus is a friend for each one of us. And I love him. And if you go to sleep from now on until whenever James pulls the meeting together at the end, that's fine. If you can take away with you, Jesus is a friend, an intimate friend. That song was telling us, wasn't it? He's our intimate friend. He cares about us intimately. So it often happens when I'm speaking that things don't go quite how I thought they might. So if I forget or randomly don't do something else, please will you go home, and if I say this morning's theme was Jesus, friend of sinners. Is that okay? Okay, I have no idea how to put the screen on, but I believe it is on. I can't read that up there either. I'm just hoping the words are what I've got in front of me, but I might sneak a peep. Lovely. All right then. I'm not thinking we'll read too many verses together this morning, but perhaps we could just read the ones that are on the screen together. Let's go. If you keep my commands, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear lasting fruit. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. My command is, love each other. Were you expecting that to be the next slide? You really weren't, were you? No. Maximum audience impact and astonishment, okay? The theme is friendship. And I'm going to declare, I've talked about this to Julie, who is my best friend in so many ways. I'm going to declare this morning that Jesus is my best friend, without excluding the fact that Julie is also my best friend. And I want us just to think, if you don't mind, and if you do, please feel free to sit and feel awkward. I want to suggest that we think for the next 2 minutes maybe, what's the difference between Father Christmas and a best friend? What's the difference between Father Christmas and a best friend? If that strikes you silent, be silent. If you want to talk to someone near you and say, what's the difference between Father Christmas and a best friend? You have 2 minutes. Picture on screen. This is David and Jonathan, who were known to be best friends. I think there's a difference between the relationship we have with Father Christmas and the relationship between David and Jonathan. And I just did some random bits about what is a best friend like. What do we think? A best friend totally accepts me. Maybe that cuts out a few of my friends. if I'm going to call him best friend. A best friend encourages me. He gets in touch just when I need it. Have you ever had that happen with best friend Jesus? Does he get in touch just when you need it? He doesn't back off just because things get tough. Where is that friend when needed? A best friend tells me the truth in a caring way. Not too many "I told you so's." Have you got a few friends who say "I told you so"? And are they your best friends? And they don't flatter me. He or she doesn't gossip about me. He forgives me and doesn't bear a grudge. I am blessed these days with an appalling memory. Is anybody able to join me in that? Otherwise, I fear I might bear a few grudges. It's hard to bear grudges when you've forgotten what the grudge was about. Oh, dear. Best friend listens to me. You know when someone is really listening. Is that true? I kind of feel quite often when talking after meetings, I think, I don't believe I'm being this person's best friend, because I'm conscious that someone over there might be waiting to speak to me, or someone's creeping out the door that I wanted to catch before they went. But a best friend is really listening. And we can talk about really personal things. You know if someone's a best friend or getting towards it, if you don't mind talking to them about anything at all. Best friend shares my innermost feelings and sees things from my perspective. And maybe a best friend is sincerely pleased when I succeed. That's good, isn't it? To have a friend who's actually really pleased when I have done well. Whether we shall get to what I want to do in a few minutes, which is to talk about where Jesus qualifies along all those points, we'll see. If not, hopefully you had your own thoughts as we went through. And I've asked one or two people to talk. The idea was for them to talk briefly, and the idea was for them to talk about Jesus as a close friend. And Bob, I'm going to get you to go first.
Well, when Vincent mentioned this to me, quite a big question mark came up in me, really, because I think that with Jesus, I find it quite difficult to separate him out from being my saviour and my king and all the other things, really, that he is to me. But the main thing, really, that came into my heart was that he first chose me. And in doing that, that takes pressure out of the relationship. It enables me to feel confident in him. And that confidence builds a trust. So I think that when he promised to complete a good work in me, that's what he's going to do.
When Jen was in hospital for a week or so, quite recently, we were on the phone most days, and I was just impressed by how closely she came across as being in touch with Jesus, and I just wanted her to share on the same theme.
I can't remember. I've done it the wrong way around. From a child, I've always known and believed in Jesus, as Jesus is God and his son, and that he lived and died to save me. But when I went through a period of my life between I was 35 and 45 years, when I hardly went down to church. I was unhappy and stopped going to church. Then when we went through the experience of Ed's heart surgery and prostate cancer, I realized what a wonderful friend Jesus is to. Now my friend Jesus is going to care for me as I face a similar challenge, and I have no fear for what's ahead. I was watching Songs of Praise last Sunday, and they sang that hymn, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." And that is what it is for me. Jesus is my constant friend. He sets me free from worries as I give them all to him. After all, if his eye is on the sparrow, he will watch over me. He is my friend, and he will be with me all the way. So I'm not afraid.
Not afraid. That's good. Not afraid. And Jesus hasn't been Father Christmas to Jen. He hasn't just taken it all away. I'm looking for Lawrence and Catherine. I'd probably walk past them. Are we good? Thank you. If we don't all know, Lawrence has got quite a serious health situation that he and Kath are sharing in together at this time. And Kath's just going to speak about how Jesus is a friend.
Well, Jesus has been of our friend as long as we've been married, really. Yeah. He's gone, I got a closer friend, or we've got to know him better. So he's a better friend as the years have gone by. And he loves us far more than we can ever love him. And that's a true friend. And he loves us no matter how we feel. If we wake up grumpy or if we're full of the joys of spring, he loves us and he accepts us no matter what. He's our friend through good times. He's our friend through difficult times. He hasn't said we're always going to have good times, but he is always there to help us every day. We have challenges, but he is there to encourage us, to accept us. And when we fall down, he's there to pick us up. And as the last few months, I've had to learn to drive, so I had to really trust him for that. And for me, that was a difficult time, and he was a friend. He helped me through that, and it was the right time because a couple of months after I passed my test, Lawrence couldn't drive anymore. And when Lawrence had to give up work, we had so many papers to fill in. I can remember looking at them and thinking, oh, I can't get my head around this. And I can remember going to the Lord and saying, please help me. And he did. He whispered in my ear, I am with you. And he helped us through that, through times and difficult times and whatever, Lord. But in it all, we can feel his peace. Yeah. Only a friend, only Jesus can bring that peace. Only a real friend can bring that peace to us.
Yeah. One thing I like about what I do most days is I go quite a lot to different homes, and you'd be amazed the amount of stories I hear of how Jesus has been a friend to his people. I thought that because Fiona is in the younger age group still, that she ought to be willing to come and walk to the front. We were kind to the others.
Thanks. I was just thinking actually about how quite often I put expectations on friendships and are a bit unreasonable because I haven't actually communicated those expectations. So the result is that I can feel let down by my friendships. And I was thinking how actually we don't even have to communicate our expectations on Jesus and he still fulfills them. And that's how incredible his friendship is. He knows our needs and he knows each of us as individuals need from his friendship, because we all expect different things from our friendships, don't we? So for us to fulfill the needs of our friends is a tough thing to do, but he knows our needs as individuals, and that's fantastic. Dad just asked me if I would share a little bit of something I shared at the Harbour Ladies Conference last Saturday. It's a little harder today because today is 2 years since Mark passed away. Or I should say since he went to be with the Lord, which is a much more positive spin on it. They're rejoicing, and that's a fantastic thing. So really, I wanted to share something that the Lord's been teaching me over the last 7 years, really, since Mark first was ill, which was that you can live in a paradox of two things being true at the same time. So I'm going to read from here because it's easier than my head trying to take things in. It's been a busy day already. So it's true that my world was falling apart, and sometimes still feels that it is, but at the same time, my world is being held together. It's true that I have lived in the depths of despair, but at the same time been really overconscious of joy in my heart and the fact that I can celebrate God's goodness. I've had times of feeling tired beyond anything I ever knew was possible, but at the same time feeling refreshed and strengthened for the day. I've felt broken, but at the same time whole. I felt damaged, but at the same time healed. And I'd always thought that you had to be one or the other. You couldn't be both things at once. It doesn't seem possible to be happy and sad at the same time. But I think this is where Jesus comes in his friendship and makes the difference. He is enough. That's ultimately what I've come to find, because as he draws close in his friendship to us, it's like the thing that has been causing pain, it doesn't disappear. For some people it does. I'm not denying the power of God to heal and to take things away instantly if he so chooses. But what I found is true in my life is that the pain remains, and I do still feel pain every day. Today in particular is a hard day. But at the same time as the pain is there, can you hold the microphone for me, Dad? What I feel God does is that he comes with his joy, and whilst the pain is there clenched up like a fist, he comes and pours in the joy so that it envelops the pain, and actually the power of that pain is taken away because the joy has come, and the joy is the one that wins because his joy is powerful. God is good all the time. We celebrate his goodness, we celebrate his love, and what that joy does is it envelops the pain and it says, do you know what, it's okay. I'm your friend and I'm always going to be close. I'm always going to be closer than a brother, closer than a mother, in my case closer than a husband, because actually my joy is all that you need. I am sufficient for you. I am enough.
So it's a reality for us that Jesus is our alongside friend continually, and probably wants to be far more than we let him. I need to acknowledge the person I haven't actually seen here this morning, but I suspect of being here, who provoked me into this focus, because we were having one of those little chats someone has from time to time, and we got onto the subject of, so what does Jesus mean to you? And he kind of stumbled a little bit on that one. I put the question in a way that wasn't going to make any sense. And that's me, because I'm in one age group and he's in another. And no doubt there's a generational language barrier of some kind there. But like the younger generation, quick on their feet, quick on the draw, said, okay, well, what does Jesus mean to you? And I realized then that what Jesus means to me above everything else, he is my Saviour, King, Redeemer, husband, shepherd, friend, prophet, priest, King, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, and all the rest of it, but he's my friend. And I think Jesus wants to call us into even deeper friendship with him than we already have. And I'm just going to go through those points we made again, if that's okay, and maybe illustrate them. So Jesus accepts me. And as it says in Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They didn't mean that very kindly, of course. And what I want to say to that is, if Jesus is a friend of sinners, then we, each of us, are magnificently qualified to be his friends, because I'm a sinner. Shall I point? No, you are a sinner, whoever you may be, and therefore Jesus wants to be a close friend to us, declares himself. Do you know, have you ever... how many here are married men? My wife is standing at the back looking thoughtful, and it's very distracting. It's not for me, is it, darling? Ah, thank goodness. I thought I must have got my hands in my pockets, shirt hanging in the wrong place or something rather like that, and I was going to get a little prod, but no, that's all right and good. Next one. Jesus encourages me and is there when I'm needed. When I need him, it should say, when he is needed. And that's a very famous verse. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do we experience Jesus as always there? Because he is. Do you ever come to and suddenly realize that you were about to slip badly into a temptation and somehow or other it stopped? I know it was the Holy Spirit. I don't need to distinguish between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and takes the power of the temptation away through what he did on the cross. All I need to do is look at my best friend and listen to what he's saying. If you think I don't sometimes, well, often deliberately sin, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when I'm in temptation, he comes along and wants to get me out of it. That's a good best friend to have. Jesus doesn't back off when things get tough. As the scripture says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And in the book of Proverbs, where that was written, it didn't necessarily mean Jesus, but it's well interpreted to mean that Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hopefully, there are at least some people in this room who've got good brothers. And if that person, if Jesus sticks closer than a brother, that's a meaningful picture. I've got six brothers, so I'm well surrounded by them. But Jesus sticks closer than any brother. I need him to stick to me. Some of these things don't go away, even with the passing of the years. I'm not going to tell you because I can't work it out. It's a long time now since I was driving up to New Cross Goldsmiths College, where I was doing my degree, and I decided to stop, and I'd had it with Jesus. It was too much to be a Christian at the university. I couldn't deal with it anymore. And I didn't really believe he was there. And I stopped to tell myself, this is it. I don't care what my family and parents say. There is no Jesus and there is no God. And a light shone in the car. I believe it was the moon. But to me, it was Jesus. And this voice came to me, revealing himself to me again. And I'm not saying that because I'm a super spiritual person. Jesus wants to do that with each one of us. I really am not super spiritual. But Jesus is a friend who turns up. He tells me the truth without flattering. Oh dear. Jesus said to her, this is the woman of Samaria who he encountered by a well. And she said to him that she wanted the living water that he was offering. And so Jesus did one of the ways that Jesus does do. He said, okay then, just go and get your husband and come back and we'll talk about it. And she said, I haven't got a husband. And this is what he said. You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. It's doing well, wasn't it? And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Well, Jesus was by the well being a friend to her, but he was also telling her some quite uncomfortable truth. And I like about Jesus, he can sometimes tell me uncomfortable truth. It's whether I can respond appropriately is the question. But don't we all need in our lives uncomfortable truth spoken to us and able to receive it? Jesus doesn't gossip about me. As far as I know, now this is all imagination. Is anyone up for a bit of imagination? Like there's heaven filled with all these angels archangels, angels, seraphs, cherubim, and millions of redeemed souls. And Jesus isn't popping around saying, did you see what Vincent just did? Or he's not saying, did you see what Peter Hall just did the other day when he forgot to take the dog for a walk? He's not saying anything like that at all. If he's saying anything about us at all, which I have no idea, they're going to be positives because he loves us. And he says good things about us and thinks good things about us. This quote from 2 Corinthians 12, which is written by Paul, is more to the effect that it's inappropriate to have these things, but gossip is mentioned among them. I hope I don't gossip. I sometimes think, am I gossiping? To be gossiped about by a friend immediately undermines the friendship. If you find out that your friend's been saying things about you behind your back, it undermines that friendship. Jesus isn't always telling other people about my weaknesses. If I get there and find out that he is, you can tell me at the time. But at the moment, I'm in faith that he's doing no such thing. Jesus forgives me. I don't need to finish all this. How does Jesus measure up as my forgiving friend? We all know he died that our sins might be forgiven. How does he measure up as your forgiving friend? Which person here would like to tell me how many times has Jesus had to forgive you? Innumerable. That's my friend from Wakefield Way. That's good. Innumerable times, times without number. It is true that he told us to forgive 70 times 7 or 77 times, doesn't seem to be clear which. But Jesus has forgiven us all innumerable times. Eddie, has Jesus forgiven you innumerable times? Times without number. Are we all nodding and believing? Jesus forgives and forgives and forgives. Jesus also listens to me. Before they call, I will answer, he says. We can talk about really personal things two ways. He shares my innermost feelings. I'd like to talk about that a bit more, but I'm not going to. And he's sincerely pleased when I succeed. I love that friendship with Jesus. I love the fact that one day I really long, and I'm in faith today to believe that he will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. I wonder sometimes if he'll actually say, well done, good and faithful friend. But he'll call us and embrace us into his kingdom. But at this moment, here we are on earth, and the people we heard from, and I could probably have picked almost anybody in this room and said, will you tell us about Jesus, your friend, your brother, your intimate friend? And I just wanted to say this morning that I think, at least today, it's the best thing I know about him. He's my friend.